Our Old Testament lesson this morning comes from the book of Leviticus, chapter 24, if you'd like to join along in your own Bible or in a pew Bible, Leviticus 24, beginning with verse 17. And before we read God's word, let us go to him in prayer. Let us pray. Most gracious God, our Father in heaven, you and you alone dwell in the fullness of light and wisdom. And Father, we ask this morning that you illumine our minds, that you illumine our hearts by your Spirit, your Holy Spirit, in the true understanding of your word. Father, may it lead us to put our trust in you alone, that we may glorify your name and love our neighbor as ourselves. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Leviticus 24, beginning with verse 17. Whoever takes a human life shall surely be put to death. Whoever takes an animal's life shall make it good, life for life. If anyone injures his neighbor as he has done, it shall be done to him. Fracture for fracture, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. Whatever injury he has given a person shall be given to him. Whoever kills an animal shall make it good, and whoever kills a person shall be put to death. You shall have the same rule for the sojourner and for the native. For I am the Lord your God. So Moses spoke to the people of Israel, and they brought out of the camp the one who had cursed and stoned him with stones. Thus the people of Israel did as the Lord commanded Moses. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our New Testament reading comes from Matthew 5. Matthew 5, we're in the middle of a sermon series on the Sermon on the Mount. The sermon is found in Matthew's Gospel, chapters 5 through 7. And in this sermon, in this teaching, Jesus is showing what life in the kingdom of God looks like. What life following him looks like. What a life of discipleship looks like. And for the past couple of weeks, we've been looking at examples given by Jesus of kingdom righteousness, of holiness in following him. And in these examples that Jesus has given, he's been offering a contrast. So offering a contrast between how the scribes and how the Pharisees, the religious leaders of his day, how they understood the law, how they interpreted the law, and God's intent for the law, God's design for the law. He's been given this contrast between the two. We have seen that the religious leaders of Jesus' day, and you'll see this throughout the Gospels. I mean, you just read the Gospels and you'll see it, not just here in this contrast, that the religious leaders in Jesus' day were focused on the exterior, on the external. They were focused on act, on deed, where Jesus is concerned about the heart. He's concerned about your heart. Life in Jesus. We've seen this every week on this study, and we'll continue to see it, that life in Jesus, life following him, is living out righteousness. It's living out holiness from your heart. From your heart. It's living righteousness. It's living holiness inside out. That's what God desires. Living it inside out. But we can't do that on our own. We have to remember that and acknowledge that. We cannot do it on our own unless God the Spirit fills us, unless the Holy Spirit fills us, unless the Spirit fills our heart so that we can live it inside out. Let's continue our study. Matthew 5, beginning with verse 38. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil. But if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if anyone would sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him two. Give to the one who begs from you, and do not refuse the one who would borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? You, therefore, must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. What more are you doing than others? What more are you doing than others? That's the question that Jesus asked those who were gathered around him up on the mountain. That's the question that Jesus asked those who surrounded him up on the mountain. That's Jesus' question to his disciples, to his followers. And that's Jesus' question to you. What more are you doing than others? And by others, Jesus means non-Christians. Jesus means those who are not his followers, those who have not received him by faith. What more are you doing than others? Now, the question itself implies that life following Jesus will be different. That it will be distinct, that it will be dissimilar from others, that it will be different from the world around you, that it will be distinct from the culture in which you live, that it will be dissimilar from non-Christians. Well, how? Well, the answer is more. More. What more are you doing than others? So what does Jesus mean by more? What does he mean by more? Well, the Greek word here for more is parason. And this word can mean not only more, this word can mean extraordinary. It can mean remarkable. It can mean uncommon. It can mean abundant. So what is the more of the Christian life? What is the more of following Jesus? What is the extraordinary? What is the remarkable? What is the uncommon? What is the abundant? And the answer is love. That's the answer. Love. Love is the more. But not just any love and not just any definition of love, but the love that was shown on the cross. The selfless, sacrificial love of Jesus Christ. The Son of God who came to die for enemies. For enemies. Sin creates enemies of God. Sin creates enemies of God. And here's what I mean. When you sin, you break God's law. And when you break God's law, you're not living as he designed. You're not living as he desired. You're not living out following his will. When you sin, you're living as you desire. You're following your own will. And therefore, when you do that, you reject God's rule over your life. You reject God's lordship over your life. You go your own way. And because your sin is against God, you become God's enemy. Well, Jesus came to take on your sin, and he came to take on the punishment your sin deserves, and he came to take it to the cross. In other words, Jesus took your place as God's enemy. You were God's enemy because of sin, but Jesus took your place as God's enemy. Because of your sin, Jesus became God's enemy. And in turn, he makes you a son or a daughter. He becomes an enemy and he makes you a child through the cross. And that is God's more for you. That's God's more for you. An extraordinary, remarkable, uncommon, abundant act of love. Death on the cross. Which on the surface, I mean a death on the cross, people died in Rome on the cross all the time. On the surface, the cross looked like weakness. On the surface, the cross looked like defeat. But it was actually the power of God for salvation and love for enemies. Love for enemies. So what more are you doing than others? The more in the Christian life, the more following Jesus is love. It's the love of God. It's selfless, sacrificial love. It's the kind of love that sends rain on the just and the unjust. It's the kind of love that would die for enemies. It's the kind of love that is perfect. Perfect love. Which is what Jesus means in verse 48. Listen to verse 48 again. Jesus says, you must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. And is that you? I'm not raising my hand this morning. It's not me. But Jesus calls us to imitate the Father. He calls us to live out the love of the Father. He calls us to live out the perfect love of the Father shown in Jesus. But again, we can't. Left on our own, we can't. On our own will, we can't. We've got to have God's Spirit. We have to have God's Spirit working in our lives, transforming our lives, hungering and thirsting after this righteousness. We need the Spirit to fill us and to satisfy us so that we can truly display this more. We can display this more in our lives, in our relationships, from the inside out. Inside out. Even with our enemies. Even with those who commit evil. And those are the two examples of living out the more that Jesus gives in our passage this morning. Those are the two examples. Showing the more with enemies. Showing the more with those who commit evil. Look at verse 38 again. Verse 38. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Here, Jesus quotes the law. The law of God, a law known as the lex talionis, the law of retaliation, that was part of our Old Testament reading from Leviticus. You can also find this law in Exodus. You can find it in Deuteronomy. It's in three different places in the scriptures. When we're looking at this, we have to remember this, that God's law contained both the moral law and the civil law. The moral law and the civil law. The moral law was for God's people in their relationships, in day-to-day life. The civil law was for the nation. It was law for the judges to carry out. Now, this law that Jesus quotes, the lex talionis, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, it was civil law, which means this, it was meant for judges, not individuals. This was a law to settle injury in court, not in private. In court. The purpose of this law, the lex talionis, was twofold. First, it restrained revenge. That was the first purpose of it. If you were injured and you knew that retribution was equal, you knew retribution was fair and just, then there was no need to seek revenge on your own. The law's got it covered. Justice would be carried out in due course. Secondly, this law placed limits on punishment. It limited the compensation of the person who had been done wrong. It couldn't just be anything. There were limits to the punishment and the retribution. Well, by the time of Jesus, retribution was no longer a literal retaliation. It was no longer a literal eye for eye in Jesus' day. It was no longer a literal tooth for tooth in Jesus' day, but it was monetary retribution. If somebody injured you, then you receive payment to compensate for damages equal to the injury. Except in the case of murder. However, what the Pharisees and the scribes sought to do was to take this law out of the courts, to take this law out of the hand of judges, and to place it in the realms of personal relationships, day in and day out. They interpreted it to extend from the law courts to everyday living. Ultimately, what they were doing was using it to justify personal revenge. Did somebody insult you? Hey, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. God's law says it's all right. Did somebody borrow something from you and not return it? Hey, eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. It's in the law. Did somebody cheat you? An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. It's in the law. Did somebody hit you? Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. But Jesus says, I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil. Jesus says, but I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil. Do not retaliate against the one who does you wrong. Do not take revenge on the one who injured you. That's what everybody does. That's what everybody does or wants to do. They may not do it, but they want to do it. Jesus says you're to be more. You're to show more, even to those who do you wrong, even to those who injure you, both in your heart and through your deeds. That's the overarching principle Jesus gives. And then he gives four examples, four case studies of love rather than retaliation, of love rather than revenge, of love rather than taking the law into your own hands. So Jesus says, hey, what if somebody backhands you across the face? What is the more? Show the other cheek. What if somebody sues you and takes your shirt? What is the more? Give them your coat. What if somebody makes you go a mile? What is the more? Go an extra mile. What if somebody begs, borrows? What's the more? Give. Jesus says, no retaliation, no revenge, but rather a love that suffers. A love that gives up your rights, because it's a love that's selfless. It's a love that's concerned about the other. It's a love that denies yourself, which is the love of Jesus. That's the more. Now, make no mistake, this is not passivity. This is not passivity. This is not apathy. This is not paralysis. This is not weakness. Love is strength. Love is strength. Think about it. Does it require more to hit back or to refrain from hitting back? And not just to refrain from hitting back, but to refrain from hitting back out of love with absolutely no malice and no animosity in your heart. Does it require more strength to insult back, to throw an insult back at somebody, or to refrain from insulting somebody back out of love with no malice and no animosity in your heart? Now this must be said. This must be said. In this teaching, because we have to take the scriptures as a whole too, but in this teaching, Jesus does not negate retribution. He doesn't say, no, there's absolutely no retribution when somebody, he's not saying that. He's not saying that he does not negate retribution, he does not negate justice, nor is he absolutely forbidding the use of force. There is a place for all that to be carried out, a God-ordained place. The state. We, as followers of Christ, we have to pray that our branches of government, that our leaders, that our judges, that our police, that they love justice and that they seek justice. Hear what Jesus is doing. He's not saying all that. Hear what Jesus is doing. He's giving a principle about retaliation. He's giving a principle about revenge toward evildoers by individuals. by us. But we also have to say this, there are also limits to the more. There are limits to the more, and those limits are the limits of love. And this is just one example. I mean, we could spend lots of time talking about that. I'm only going to give one example. For example, if somebody begs you for $20 and you know for a fact that they are going to use that $20 to support an addiction, is giving them $20 really loving them? Is that really love? Well, Jesus continues and he speaks these words in verse 43. Look at verse 43. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Again, Jesus here is quoting the law. However, only part of this is found in the law. In Leviticus 19, you will find, you shall love your neighbor. Actually, it says, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. What you will not find in the law, what you will not find anywhere in the law, is hate your enemy. You won't find that anywhere. What Jesus is doing is quoting the teaching of the scribes and the Pharisees. He's quoting the interpretation of the scribes and Pharisees. It was an interpretation that narrowed the scope of love, and it did so by defining the word neighbor. According to the scribes and Pharisees, neighbor referred to other Jews. Neighbor referred to other descendants of Abraham. Neighbor referred to members of God's covenant people. In other words, God wanted you to love. Who did God want you to love? Well, your own. Your own people. Your own kind. Your own people. Therefore, here, this is how the interpretation came about. Therefore, if you only have to love your neighbor, and your neighbor are other descendants of Abraham, then surely you have permission to hate your enemy. And your enemy can be anybody who's not your neighbor, anybody who is outside of your own. And Jesus says, no, 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 no. No. That's not the law. That's not what God intended for the law. Jesus says, I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Jesus says, don't hate your enemies. Don't hate your enemies. Love your enemies. Your enemy, who those who are against you, who hate you, who don't like you, who have injured you, hurt you, insulted you, maligned you, wounded you, those who are out to get you. Jesus says, they're your neighbor too. They're your neighbor too. And you're called to love them. That's the more. That's more than others. Jesus says it's not more if you only love those who love you. That's not more. It's not more if you only love your own. Jesus says everybody does that. Everybody does that. Even tax collectors do that. Gentiles do that. Those who are outside of God's covenant, they love their own. Following Jesus means you're called to do more. Love your enemies, which is what Jesus did. Which is what Jesus did. Now, Jesus doesn't say you got to like them. He doesn't say you got to like them. He doesn't say you got to make them your friends. He doesn't say you got to make them your buddy. He doesn't say that at the end of the day you should embrace one another or hold hands or even, he doesn't say be amiable toward each other. He doesn't say that, but he says you're to love them. To love them. And that's more than simply refraining from retaliation or revenge. That's more than that. It's active. Love is active. And being active includes forgiveness and prayer. Jesus says you got to pray for those who persecute you. Pray for your enemies. Intercede for your enemies. Ask the Lord to change your enemy so that their eyes would be open, so that their heart would be open, so that they might see Jesus. Through your words and through your deeds, overcome evil with good. What more are you doing than others? What more are you doing than others? Now, in your relationships, every day, Everywhere you go, and not just your close relationships, it can be acquaintances, it can be people that you just run across to. Ultimately, it's this. And this is ultimately what Jesus is teaching in this passage. You have to treat others. You have to treat others not based on who they are, not based on what they are, and not based on what they do to you. But you have to treat others, everybody, with the love of Christ. With the love of Christ. And Jesus says, we got to be doing it from our heart. From our heart. From the inside out. It's more than just a friendly word. It's from the heart. It's from the inside out. Remembering this, that you were once an enemy. You were once an enemy. But Jesus Christ loved you and gave his life for you. And he asked this, what more are you doing than others? Let us pray. Father in heaven, we bless you and we give thanks for your son Jesus, the King of glory. And we give thanks that while we were enemies, your son died for us, reconciling us to you, restoring us to you, granting us forgiveness in you. Father, we pray that through your Son, we would do more than others. That by your Spirit, we would do more than others, living it from the inside out. Father, equip us and enable us to do so. For those who do evil, for enemies, Father, help us to do more, to live from the inside out, just as your Son did for us. And in his name we pray. Amen.